This is the Skirted Roundtable. I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings.
And this is Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8.
And Joni Webb with Code to Texas.
And this week on the Skirted Roundtable, we are talking about the huge groundswell of change at the shelter magazines. And we're going to talk a little bit about the online digital magazines and kind of where a sort of state of the state of shelter magazines and maybe a little bit of what we'd like to see as various people are changing jobs. Of course, is kicked off by the announcement last week that Margaret Russell, who's been with Elle Decor for 20 years, is now going to be heading up Architectural Digest, which is huge. And their long-term time editor is retiring for personal reasons. And there's a lot of excitement as to what's going to happen. And so we wanted to talk about that.
And not to forget the House Beautiful, Stephen Drucker is going over to Town and Country, where Pamela Fiore has been for, I don't know, 17, 18 years, all kinds of movement. And I think it's interesting with Pamela, originally she was brought in, I think like in the early 90s, I want to say. And the whole idea behind, this is what I had always heard or understood, was that she was brought in from Travel and Leisure to take Town and Country, which had been, you know, has been around, I think, the longest of any of these magazines, lifestyle magazines. And during, I guess it was doing really well in the 80s. And then in the 90s, not so well because of the state of everything. And the idea was that she was going to sort of give it this breath of fresh air. And her take on it was that she was going to start emphasizing the women of, you know, this particular world, this world of wealth and position. And she kind of wanted to prove that they had substance, and she was going to bring glamour back into the magazine. And I think it's very interesting that now here we are in an economic situation once again, and she, 17 to 18 years later, is being removed and replaced with Stephen Drucker, who I think will be a really interesting infusion of personality and knowledge.
Well, I will say this. I do take all the magazines online, and Town and Country is one of them that comes online. And so I just was looking at the newest, which I think might, either it was this month or last month, I think he's been there on 3 issues now, but I think he's finally, this is like his issue. I don't know. I'm so disappointed about that whole change, because I loved what Drucker did to House Beautiful. I loved what he did. He brought in those really, you know, ravishingly large pictures, the one-page interview. He made a lot of changes, and they were good changes. And now he's gone. And Town and Country is basically a fashion magazine. I mean, I don't know. So I'm going to miss him doing home decor.
But maybe he I have not had a chance. I cannot find a Manhattan Beach Town and Country, which tells you a lot. I wonder, are you seeing his interior design influence at all on it? Because I'm sure they brought him in for a reason to change it.
This month was their fashion issue, and I mean, you know what, I'm sure if we interviewed him, he could tell us all the changes that he has made. I just never was a big Town and Country lover, because I never felt like it was an in-depth magazine of anything. It was just, I don't know. It was just not my favorite. So I was disappointed to see him go there.
Well, I think it's possible, you know, we don't know. It takes a while to really get your changes in, and it's hard to look at. I did pick up the September issue, which is, as you said, their fashion issue. So, you know, it's the fashion issue. It's going to be all clothes. There is one piece on back to boarding school, what's next in the dorms. And so it's a furniture spread of some of your standard, you know, very expensive Cartel's Mademoiselle chair and Eros chair, you know, the sort of funky stuff that most of us weren't putting in
what
our dorm room.
What page was that on?
That's on page 86.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, so it's, yeah, I've never...
What the Barry?
I've never read Town and Country. I just thought it was a little too of the horsey set. you know, so I've never really paid attention to it. I hope that I do. There's some lifestyle stuff. It'd be nice to see. I think it'll be really interesting to see what he brings to it, and hopefully he will open it up to be. It is what it is. I don't think it's gonna it's gonna go suddenly downtown, but I think it'll be interesting.
I think it's gonna be fresher, to be honest. I think just, you know, I just think with his personality, and it's just gonna be a little hipper, even a little bit more touchable. Like you were saying, it you know, maybe it's too patrician and that not everyone feels a connection to it. But I'm wondering if by, you know, again, did they bring him in because the same reason, some of the same reasons they brought in Pamela Fiore? You know, if advertising's down, they need an injection of something. So it's quite possible that he's bringing them something that just makes it a little bit more hip and more relevant to people now, without losing it. It's sort of the thread that goes through it. That's, you know,
maybe
celebrating.
Maybe his heart is not so much in decor as it is, you know, the finer things of life, jewelry and clothes and wine and art.
But, you know, like what Margaret was saying, it's in the bottom line, they're business people, these, you know, editors in chief. They're good business people, and that's what it takes. Someone who is a good business person, who is good at socially getting it out there, promoting it by who they are as a personality. And so, you know, I think that is the bottom line.
Right.
You have to have a good business plan.
Right. You have to have someone who can, I mean, a really great manager can manage a steel company, can manage a video company. You know, they learn the business. They learn it. And they become experts. So I think it's hard to know if this is a reflection on his interest is broader than just shelter, or it's a reflection that Town and Country wanted to expand their shelter, and he did such a beautiful job at House Beautiful that, you know, we don't know how this came down, obviously, you know, how this transition was made, but maybe he felt he'd done everything he could with House Beautiful and wanted a new challenge.
Well, I will say that the fashion layout, the first story, seems much more edgy than usual. I mean, it's more artistic looking to me than I usually think of Town and Country. So that may be Stephen's, I mean, maybe I have no idea if this is a new photographer that they've never used or...
Right.
But, you know, it's a very beautiful and interesting layouts, and maybe it's a new stylist. I don't know. So, because like I said, I don't read it that much either. But maybe he did bring these people there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting. I think the three of us, none of us have that sort of. I don't know anyone who reads Town and Country, but it was available in my CVS up the street. So, people in my area do read it, and that makes sense. I live in a country club kind of town, a yacht club kind of town. So. To some extent, this is my people, but a little more fashiony, which shows it's a little closer to New York City than Boston. It'd be interesting to see. I mean, I think I would rather see it get a little more broader in the lifestyle, a little less in the just clothes and jewelry.
I wonder if Drucker, I know him and Margaret are good friends, so I don't mean this from a personal thing, but I wonder if he would have liked the job at Architectural Digest.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I bet they, you know, like all of us, we look at jobs in or anybody in a relatively small industry. You know, you look at, well, that job might do that, or this job, you know, maybe he does have a broader interest, as we said, and Architectural Digest wouldn't have allowed him to, you know, spread those wings. Who knows? Or it was just timing. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the whole Architectural Digest and Margaret Russell move, I think is, that's one I'm really interested in, because I have to be really honest, I cannot, up until now, I have not liked Architectural Digest for years.
I don't know anyone who has.
Architectural Digress, I mean.
Right. I don't know anyone who, you know, people who don't really know will be like, oh, Architectural Digest. And I think everybody has sort of held their nose. What I've heard is that people are just like, you still got to get your pictures in it. You know, you're not anyone until you're in Architectural Digest and or on their, you know, Hot 100 list. So they certainly still retained the big footprint. you know, I think they were, you know, running after the celebrities too much. I mean, that issue with Gerard Butler, and I love Gerard Butler, but, you know, that house he lives in was just horrible. The new Manhattan apartment, you know, decorated like Scottish dungeon. And, you know, it's on the cover. Why? Because it's a pretty picture of Gerard Butler.
Was the interior designer. It might have been when she had a stable of designers that she used, and she demanded loyalty from them. And
who's she?
I think Paige.
Okay.
And I think once you got hooked up in her web, you couldn't go anywhere without making her angry. I mean, this is a rumor that I've heard. I have no idea.
I had always heard that the designers had to be ASID. Michael Smith would not have been able to be. Was he in Architectural Digest? Am I going to... do I know this? Because, I mean, I haven't looked at it in so long. It comes through, and the covers are just so unappealing to me. I kind of am forced to wade through the advertising and all the other stuff. I don't even like the way it feels. That perfectly bound, stiff...
I don't know why. What is it about Architectural Digest that everyone just now totally hates?
It feels weedy. It just feels, it doesn't feel clean in design. It doesn't, it's sort of, it's Dwell is the, you know, is the ideal for clean design, and everything about it is texturally, in my mind, it's just a very clean design magazine. And then you go to Architectural Digest, it feels old. It feels cobwebby to me.
Well, I wonder if a lot of it is, you know, I mean, you could say the economy, but that's it's only been a couple of years, and I think people have been kind of not all that jumping up and down over Architectural Digest for longer than that. But it does have that musty, you know, what was at one time aspirational living, you know, the fancy hotels, pools around the world, as they have on their website, you know, things that are just above and beyond what probably 95% of the readers are ever going to, you know, hotels that 95% of the readers will never stay in, and, you know, that, and homes that people will never visit. And it's like a relic from the 80s, from the dynasty era.
A lot of people that really just hate the way the photography is, and yeah. What is it about that people just dislike so much?
It feels very flat to me. The lighting, I don't know. There's just something I don't like. You know, I do think it's interesting that initially it was more California-centric, and now they've actually moved to go to where Margaret is. They changed their headquarters, haven't they, Linda? Didn't you tell me that?
Yes, they. That must have been her deal with them, you know, if as part of the wooing of her. I can only imagine, and I am speaking from absolutely no authority whatsoever, but I can only imagine they went after her, and she didn't want to. She's a New York girl, she's an East Coast girl, she didn't want to leave the East Coast, and they're willing to change their editorial offices. But, you know, often these shelter magazines don't have enormous staffs, so it's not like shifting 500 people from the West Coast to the East Coast. It's shifting 15 people, maybe. And in,
But I wonder if that will, I mean, I wonder if that will, even just getting new digs, you know, just starting all over, I think could actually, you know, bring a little different energy to the whole project.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Margaret, you know, Eldecor has been a lot, it's certainly not anything like Architectural Digest. She's always talked about she wants the spaces to feel like someone's actually living there.
Which is so not architectural. Which may be one of the things that bugs me so much about.
Well, I think that's the thing, is Architectural Digest is so, you know, pristine, but not in a good way. And certainly Margaret's, what she says she's wanted is that feeling of, you know, it's been collected over time and it's not necessarily the perfect room, but it's... It has its moments, and, you know, people are in there, and her ability to bring in the ad revenue is the thing that's made her. This is a business. It's the thing that's made her the hot property, and she has been the best in the business.
She's amazing. Yeah. She's amazing. I mean, if anyone can turn this magazine around,
yeah,
it is she.
It is she. And I think it's interesting, touching back on what we were saying, you know, you guys were just talking about, I have heard the same thing, Joni, about the kind of like if you were an Architectural Digest designer, you better not darken any other shelter magazine door. And hopefully this kind of shakeup will free that up. You know, because I don't think Margaret and Stephen had that kind of territorial. They didn't necessarily appeal to the same people. They necessarily show a lot of the same designers. But it was not because of competition as much as I like this better, you like that better. At least that's certainly what they said to us.
Well, I mean, and if it's true that Architectural Digest was always trying to be so, you know, by the book, ASID only, if there's any truth to that, that certainly is completely different than what Stephen Drucker told us. You know, he relishes finding somebody who is not known, who, you know, is tucked away in Arkansas someplace. You know, that to him is a major striking goal. So right. That's so different than Architectural Digest.
Well, I guess we'll have to check on that, you know, premise. Is we just basically have to look at some of the names of the people that are in like the 80s top 100, and then who are they and are they ASID? I don't imagine it's really the case. It could be just the perception.
It's probably just total rumor that I've heard.
Yeah,
but
no, Michael Smith is in their top 100.
Oh, he is. Okay, there.
Alexis Hampton.
All right, it's a rumor. But, you know, the rumor's out there because that's what people feel.
Right. I heard some number once about it's only 5% of all practicing interior designers are ASID. It's some tiny little percentage.
I still go back to my, what is it about the pictures that are so unappealing in Architectural Digest? And I don't know, is it they're so far away? They don't have a lot of clothes. What is it?
They're flat and they're really busy. I don't know. I don't know enough about photography to be able to analyze them. But I have one sitting next to my bed, and it has.
They all look alike. It doesn't matter if it's a house in Bali or a house in Connecticut.
They all look alike. Flat and busy, and you know what? The cover is always, you know, maybe because they're in such a tight frame. I've got one with Diane Keaton on the cover sitting next to my bed, and it's such an ugly cover. And that's probably one of their better ones. I always think back to there was one with John Travolta and Kelly Preston on it.
That was a horrible picture. Well, I think they've really fallen down when they did the celebrity stuff, because the celebrities they picked did not have beautiful spaces.
No.
I mean, Diane Keaton is known for having, you know, a good eye, and so maybe hers was. I don't
really It was. Remember. That's why I have it. I mean, there's some nice things in
You know,
it.
So
that's
maybe,
why.
You know, some of theirs. But, you know, they also picked people who just had really either totally over the top, like I think a Joan Rivers or, you know, people like that. Or, you know, there's just nothing really accessible about them. But I
wonder, though.
A lot of it might be the styling. I'm looking at a picture of, it's on their website, of outdoor spaces, and there's this picture of this wonderful porch by Bunny Williams, and they have made it look so boring. And you just know if this was something that Drucker did or Margaret, it wouldn't look this way. They have taken a beautiful living room and made it look ugly. Why? How? How did they do?
What is that?
It just looks ugly, and I guarantee you that this
Jenny,
is.
I think it's the styling and the photography. It's very flat.
It's like they try to put too much in the picture. I think there's no styling at all, hardly.
Well, yeah, you have those two pillows that are, you know, the perfectly chopped pillows and the fusty. The tables are all very fusty. You know,
I think if they would have come in tighter on the clock and a window. I mean, but honestly, I guarantee you that if this was in House Beautiful, this would be a charming room.
You know, you'd feel like you were in the room. I bet you if House Beautiful got a hold of this, you would feel like you were in the room and you'd feel the height of the ceiling. It just wouldn't feel as flat. They feel very flat.
Right.
And now if you go to room number 8, you get the same feeling. And again, I guarantee you, this is a beautiful room, and they've made it look like it's a hotel.
Well, it's that straight-on mirror image picture that's just so dead.
And they just all look alike. What?
Well, especially those two small benches, the X benches, with the grid pattern on the top. What are those doing there?
Where?
In that picture number 8, dead center, the sort of William and Mary little benches. What are those doing? Those have no point there. That's a walkway. Right. That's a walk-through space.
And you've got that coffee table beyond, it's really nice.
Yeah, you know, they're covering up a beautiful coffee table. You know, they've just got these two benches dead center where you know that has to be a pass-through. You know, those aren't there normally.
It's just, what is it? Is it horrible photography or is it not?
Well, that's what I'm saying is that, like, you've got those, you know, in this picture, it's two mirror image and it doesn't make any sense with those two benches just sort of smack dab in the middle. You know, it's very foreground, middle ground, background.
The color looks bland. There's a problem with Architectural Digest, I don't know what it is.
I think, it's technical. Well, one thing, again, I know nothing about photography, but, you know, when you're shooting without a flash in a room with the daylight coming in, your camera's adjusting to the daylight. So, the lamps are getting, you know, sort of disappearing, and I think they're losing some sort of shadow play, in this picture at least, because of that daylight in the background. I think you'd have to put gels on the window or something. I don't know.
Well, they definitely didn't capture what's outside the windows properly. It's blown out. It's like overexposed because they're under.
Right.
It's, you know.
Because they had to open up the lens that big in order to get the rest of the room in without using a flash.
Right.
You know?
And I think
that makes no sense. Like, can they know better than that if we could figure that out, right? I don't know. So, anyway, it'll be great to have, you know, it's going to look a lot different.
And then
Margaret Russell comes in.
Yeah, and then if you go over to the El Decor website and you go to Celebrity Living Room, their pictures are alive, you know?
I'm looking.
They don't look alike.
Right. They look like real people, which is what Margaret always said, that she wants it to look like real people live in that room. It hasn't just been, you know, a showroom didn't just throw up inside your living room. And voila, you've got this perfect
space.
They're using
the light and the shadows in this. You know, it seems that makes a big difference. It adds depth. It adds interest to the spaces. And things aren't symmetrical always.
Right. Well, that symmetrical hit dead straight on. That, you know, you got to use that sparingly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like the picture with Meg Ryan, you know, there's chips on the wall. There's an interesting, it's lit in an interesting manner. There's, you know, a little something, a little blanky or something coming in from the, you know, it's just not perfect. She's sitting there looking slightly uncomfortable. I don't know. But yeah, I think that there's no life in the Architectural Digest, and I think we can look forward to Margaret breathing.
She has killed that magazine, and it's really amazing when you think about
it. What do you
mean? That one woman's vision killed something that everybody took.
Who?
Who? Are you talking about
Margaret
Paige
or Paige?
Spence?
I'm talking about Architectural Digest.
Oh, okay.
Everyone took that magazine, and no one does anymore. Or no one respects it, I should say.
Well, certainly if you remember they were absolutely not the same readership and never would have been, but when Domino closed and they offered Architectural Digest as the substitute publication, and the hue and the cry over why would I ever want Architectural Digest? I'm a Domino girl. And, you know, people didn't want it. And I think that spoke a lot.
I think it was time for young, you know, I hate to say it, they need someone more useful in their thought,
right?
You know, and their openness of mind.
So, what do we think beyond just, you know, hopefully more liveliness and a little more youthful exuberance? What do we think Margaret's going to bring to Architectural Digest, or what do we want to see her bring?
El Decor. Yeah, I think it's all going to change.
I have the physical feel of. I know I keep going back to that, but that's, you know, I don't like how it's hard to flip through an Architectural Digest. I think that glossy is so 80s, you know, be nice to see even that part change, and hopefully the art direction of it, after we just spent the last 15 minutes completely ripping it, hopefully the art direction will completely draw us in rather than doing what it's been doing.
Well, I think, Megan, you sort of made a comment as we were talking about the border, that all these other this is the one magazine I don't have sitting in front of me, but the four magazines I have sitting in front of me, Elle Decor, Traditional Home, House Beautiful, and Town and Country, they're full bleed fronts.
Right.
And, you know, the picture is off the edge, and Architectural Digest, it's crammed inside the static border. And maybe it's just that, graphic design has changed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we want the House Beautiful full page spreads. We don't want the little pictures anymore.
Hit on something, Linda. I think a big part of the unattractiveness of Architectural Digest is their font, the way the lettering is so closed and small. Yeah, it's very old fashioned. Yeah. You're right.
You know what I think, though, too? I think that when maybe Paige Rentz Nolan started, and when she was at the height of this, there was a whole different approach to interior design. I think it was supposed to feel untouchable. It was supposed to feel like, wow, look at these really, wealthy homes of these very lucky people, and the rest of us were not supposed to feel like we just fell into it and found it comfortable.
Okay, but think about Veranda. Lisa Newsom's been there, I think, from the beginning. She's the one that started Southern Accents, and she went with the times. You look at an old Veranda, and it was very different than it is today.
You do have to change. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
You have to change it. And now with decorating being so... I'm sorry, I'm getting all excited. Go, Joni.
No, I think to compare the two women, they're similar in their age and their background, I guess. But Lisa changed the magazine. She changed with the times, you know?
Right, because that certainly, Veranda certainly could have stayed in the very old-fashioned, fusty kind of look. And it definitely moved forward with the times and became a much more, their goal was to become a more national publication. And in order to do that, they had to sort of broaden their aesthetic a little bit. But now, isn't it Derek Caponegro is the editor-in-chief?
Yes.
Have you guys...
I don't know. The last Veranda... It's still too early to tell, you know?
It is very recent, yeah.
I don't see any changes, but that was a shocking one to me. Almost as shocking as Margaret or Stephen. These changes are shocking to me. I don't know. All of them.
Yeah, I guess they're
good,
not.
But so good.
It is good.
Change is so good. This is what we're saying. Not that I think that Stephen Drucker nor Margaret would have kept it static, but, it really shows. This Architectural Digest instance shows that you need to mix it up. You got to mix it up. And I think stirring the pot like this is a great thing.
Right.
Especially in the hands of such capable people.
But I would say that I'm not shocked about Margaret going to Architectural Digest. Of course, it was rumored for a long, long time.
Yeah.
But I'm not shocked because she was the biggest, she was the most successful magazine. She had the most successful ad revenues. So everybody was courting her because that's a simple business decision. Whatever it was she was doing it right. And she could probably do that anywhere. And I think I want to talk at some point about personalities, too. Derek Caponegro from Domino going to Veranda, that's a shock to me. Because it's just so, it's dorm to country club. And,
They say that her real background, though, is more Veranda than Domino. Now, I don't know. I've heard that.
And it very well could be true, that she really was the country club girl who, she certainly did a great job with Domino. I when it started, I thought it was all just, how to get the look for less, and all of a sudden it was this real serious publication, but it had passionate readers, so to the extent that she created, they created.
I loved it. Three of us, I'm the one that loves it. Yeah, I loved it.
I did too, but I love How to Get Something for Less.
Yeah, and I think everybody does. I think in today's marketplace, everybody shops at Target. I mean, I live in a town that has a yacht club that's so exclusive. If you don't know someone who's known someone who's known someone who came over on the Mayflower, you don't get into this yacht club. And the only way in is with a ginormous check. And big houses, mansions behind stone walls kind of community. And those people shop in Target. You know, everybody shops in Target, and everybody shops in higher-end places that they can afford. I think that's what's happening today. And nobody's embarrassed to shop in a Target. You know, it's...
Well, because Target has great merchandise.
Right, well, exactly. Target has managed to, you know...
You don't see them in Kmart or Penny.
You probably don't see...
Or Walmart.
Or Kmart or Walmart, but we see people in Target because Target has figured out how to court all demographics. And actually, Lonnie, I just looked at today, had a great spread on John Darien's new merchandise from Target, and I'm, like, dying for it. Joni, can you tell us, tell our listeners... When you say you take it online, what that means? Because I don't think a lot of people realize.
Okay, there, I like you get Lonnie. I subscribe to as many magazines as I can that come online. There's a company called Zinio, Z-I-N-I-O, and it just when the new magazine comes, it just pops up in your reader, and you go to it, and the magazine is there, and it's real easy to navigate. You just go to a sidebar, and you can. Jump through all the little, you know, to the houses that you want to look at, and there's no paper, there's no space, you don't have to get up and go get it. It's so easy, and I find I love it because the pictures are available on the blog to me now, you know, so that's a real plus. Meaning, I don't have to scan.
You don't have to scan. It's easy.
You don't even have to get out of bed in the morning, basically.
I that's why I don't.
It's like the perfect thing.
Well, I'm still in my pajamas, Megan.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm always, because I don't hold on to magazines, and I'm always amazed and a little embarrassed by myself when people talk about, oh, do you remember this issue? Or I was looking at my April 2002 such and such, and I'm like, wow. I mean, every time I start piling up magazines, I just have to throw them all out. It drives me crazy. But I think I need to switch to the online subscriptions because...
Yeah, and they're cheap, too. You don't have to buy them. You can just, you know, you can see what's out there and just order them by... You don't have to do a year. You can do it by an issue,
So
that's a great idea because I'm a total hoarder when it comes to magazines, and it kind of freaks me out in the middle of the night that I have stacks and stacks of magazines dating back to 1990-something.
And do you look
at them? Yeah, but see, like, I have all the Elle Decors that are online now.
Yeah.
And I love it for the blog. If I'm looking for something, I can just go through 1, 2, 3 and, you know, get what I want.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's so great.
I wish more of them were online. There's a lot of foreign magazines that are online. But House Beautiful is not, and that kills me. I wish they were.
I just want to hold them, though. That's the problem.
So, House Beautiful. How do we feel Newell Turner's doing?
I haven't seen a change.
I haven't. Yeah. No, I haven't either. And we are actually trying to get him as a guest on Skirted Roundtable. We're working on it, so we're excited to have that because we definitely want to find out what he's got.
I think he's up to.
Yeah, what he's up to. I personally would love to see the demise of the Send Us a Picture. Or at least, if they're going to do it, I wish they would have a broader range of people. And maybe, I did look at this one, but it just seemed like it was always the same designers. And, you know, it was like, all right, how many times do I want to see the same people showing us something in their house? I mean, it just got so kind of static.
See, I like that, though. I love that.
You know what I like about it is that it's not a stage talking about good and bad photography. I like that it's kind of always bad photography.
Yeah.
You know, they always use a flash. And you sit there and think, I've seen this bedside table in a full shoot that's been completely tricked out, you know, and styled, and it certainly didn't look like this. So it's fun to see what it really looks like with you know, the lamp and the flash.
I don't know. To me, it just, I think you're right. It's a fun feature, but I wouldn't mind seeing something else in its place, personally.
Or something along those lines that's kind of fun.
I have nothing bad to say about House Beautiful. I think it's a perfect magazine.
What about, you know, Stephen and Ina Garten, you know, best friends? He appears on her TV show all the time, or certainly every time I watch it, which isn't all the time, but it seems like he's always on or she's mentioning him. And I kind of wondered, is she going to move over to Town and Country?
Oh, that's right. She has a feature. Interesting.
You know, there's always been a big, you know, section for Ina Garten in this magazine. And I kind of wondered if there was going to be, you know, it'll be interesting to see is House Beautiful still going to maintain a cooking section at all under Newell, or is, you know, that going to kind of migrate over to Town and Country?
Like, she's not deserving, though.
What do you mean not deserving?
Not deserving. Because they're good friends. You know, he could have put someone in there that isn't talented, but she's usually talented and deserving, you know.
Oh, so. I'm not saying she's not. I'm just saying that.
I know you're not. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. I mean, she's got a huge name. You know, nothing wrong with keeping her there. It was something I was personally curious about, was that knowing that they have such a close personal relationship, mm-hmm. I wondered if that would be something that would happen down the road. And, you know, who knows? Maybe Newell Turner's not particularly interested in cooking. I don't know.
How else do you make it more of a lifestyle magazine if you don't have that element, you know, rather than just interior design?
Just, right.
What other sort of have to?
How popular do we think that cooking part of it is? Because it's not interesting to me, so I just flip right through it. But that doesn't mean it's not interesting to other people. That's just me.
So it's, you know, I think it's okay. I read it. I don't know that I've ever made anything from it, but...
So I think what we're saying is we're still seeing lots of pretty big pictures... And there's some smaller pictures.
I wonder if they're going to continue with the interviewing. That seems to be a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I've heard other people say, I hope they don't do the interviews anymore.
I liked the interviews.
I do.
Love that interview.
Yeah. And I love this issue. I mean, the September issue is beautiful.
One before it was beautiful.
That was beautiful, too. Yeah.
I hope they maybe will bring, just because he can, bring in more and different photographers to see what sort of look they can get from that.
Mm-hmm.
Some people we haven't seen as much recently.
Or ever.
Ever, right. That would be nice because, you know, just what we touched on before, I think it can really make a whole different personality.
Well, it is true. You know, you look at some of the magazines from other countries or... just websites that show pictures from other... There's maybe a... It's kind of what we touched on with Christina Strutt, you know, the sort of... We style everything to the absolute nines, and in England it's just kind of thrown on. You know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it'd be interesting to see there being a little more of that, you know, more realism.
A looseness.
I mean, but...
You know, everything I've heard about Newell Turner, everything, everyone always says, they never let his name go by without... them saying, oh, he's such a great guy. Oh my gosh, he's so charming. Even people who have worked with him, photographers who have worked for him, just talk about how encouraging and how he makes their creative work better. And knowing that and hearing that from from unsolicited sources, I really can't wait to see how that translates as he takes the helm.
Yeah. Now, so we're at El Decor. What, if anything, would we want to see different about El Decor?
Well, I love El Decor. I'm kind of where Joni is.
On House Beautiful?
Oh, I really do, yeah. I like the myth.
I'm just more traditional, I think, Megan, that's a big difference between you and I. So, while I love El Decor, I'm not, the houses, the more odd house doesn't appeal to me as mm-hmm. much.
I like that, the funkiness that every once in a while gets thrown in there. I do love that. Not that I do it, but it always sort of, I don't know, I always really hold it a little closer and a little longer.
Now, it's interesting because El Decor is really, you know, they moved a lot into, you know, their top 30, their top, you know, kind of like a little competition with the Architectural Digest Top 100. You know, El Decor had their top designers. And so I think will be really interesting to see how that plays out.
That's a good point. Now, that would be something that I wouldn't mind seeing, a little broader spectrum in that area.
Yeah.
You know, out of the club of the eight listers.
Well, yeah. I mean, it always seems like, you know, there's people that, you know, when someone's asked who do you think is the top, you know, in this group of top 25 or whatever, there's like half of them are the people that you know they felt they just had to put on. And that's not to really cast aspersions. Most of those people probably should be there anyway. But it's a lot like when you see lists of the top, like, design blogs. And, you know, you just know the ones who are going to be there. And that doesn't mean there aren't design blogs you've never heard of that aren't better. But you haven't heard of them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I did like how Margaret was moving more into, like, you know, showcasing some younger designers. That's fun. Like our friend Grant Gibson.
Yeah, that was good. Do you remember Margaret was saying, though, that, I mean, that is one thing, even when I've heard her speak and when she spoke with us, she always did say that she encouraged that, you know. She said, reach out to me directly. You don't need to go through anybody. You can email me.
Right.
You know, my email address is in the front part of the magazine.
Let's talk about the one magazine that no one ever talks about.
Traditional Home?
Yes.
Yeah. Why is it? What is it about Traditional Home? Nobody ever talks about it.
I hate the houses they show.
I don't really have much to say about it.
They're just boring, their houses. And you know what? Let me tell you something. It doesn't have to do with money. Because I love those little magazines, that Country Bungalow or Romantic Country Home. You know, they're very, very small publications. And they're mm-hmm. almost like blogs, the kind of houses they show. And, you know, I love those magazines. It has it has nothing to do with money. In fact, it's almost like the houses at Traditional Home, they've spent a fortune. You know what they're like? They're like show houses.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They're very, very pristine, very pretty, but you know, I'm looking at the, this is actually an old Traditional Home, it's May, that I grabbed off my pile, but there's a dining room, and it's a lovely dining room with a painted mural-y wall and beautiful window treatments, but the table, there's nothing on, you know, it's a dining room table, there's nothing on the table but chinoiserie vase and some poorly executed flowers. You know, it's just so like, oh, that's all you got? And little tiny things on the mantle. You know, there's nothing like someone's living there. So yeah, there's a stiffness in Traditional Home because nobody ever talks about it. People must buy it, but nobody ever talks about it.
No.
I kind of wanted to talk about personality of the editor-in-chiefs because I feel like Traditional Home, it's like, who is the editor-in-chief? You know, does that go with the fact the magazine has, you know, nobody talks about the magazine, so it kind of doesn't have any personality, maybe. And this is not to criticize, you know, personally attack the editor-in-chief, but Anne Omvig Main is not a name anyone talks about. And, you know, everyone knows Margaret Russell. Everyone knows Stephen Drucker. Probably most people didn't really know who was the editor of Architectural Digest. Or Town and Country. Metropolitan Home, I forget who that editor was. The Domino Girls, everybody knew who they were. So what do we think about personality of the editor-in-chief and how does that affect, so, you know, should the editor-in-chief be a celebrity on their own, like a Margaret Russell, who's truly a celebrity on her own?
Well, I think it helps, certainly. I mean, from a PR point of view, you definitely, you know, it's funny how I feel like the world of interior design has become, started going, maybe it's because I live in LA, but there's become this sort of self-imposed, I think, celebrity. And, you know, you do have to be a public person nowadays if you're going to be editor-in-chief. I don't even know if it's a nowadays thing because you think back to, you know, Anna Wintour has always been very public, but it's, right. So you have to be likable on top of that, I think.
Or you have to be, I mean, Anna Wintour is hard, not likable, so you either have to be fabulously bitchy and just known for it, or you have to be charming. I mean, Stephen Drucker's charming. He's down to earth. I mean, you see him on Ina Garten's, that TV show that, cooking in the country, whatever it is, she's cooking at her house and she's like packing up meals for Stephen and his partner and bringing them over, and you know, it's very homey, and he comes across as very homey, which is really nice. Margaret comes across as you know, maybe you don't see her in quite those homey she doesn't come across in quite those homey circumstances, but you know, she's personable. She's
personable, and she's, you know, you end up having so much respect for her.
Right. She's a wonderful speaker.
Right.
passionate about her subject matter. And, you know, it'll be, I think it'll be interesting, you know, does the next editor-in-chief of Elle Decor need to be that out front person that Margaret was, the celebrity unto themselves? And, you know, does it need the person who's willing to embrace that? Or can a magazine like an Elle Decor or House Beautiful, can they have the exact same aesthetic, but just be a more retiring, not the showman? I mean, not everybody's capable of charming an audience. Not everyone is interested in doing that. They're much better on the one-on-one than they are in front of a huge crowd. And they're not interested in personal, you know, stardom.
Yeah, but if you're competing, I don't know. I just think that it really helps. It really helps.
Or is it, you know, like the blogs, you know, where the blogs, I mean, there's certainly been blogs that have been written by anonymous people who become, you know, well-known, but not necessarily as passionately loved as the ones where people get to know the blogger. And is that, have the blogs changed the way we want to look at our shelter magazines? You know, the cult of personality, or just the whole cult of personality. We want to know who's behind them. You know, I think it'll be interesting. I personally do think that the leader of these publications, the publications that seem to do the best are the ones that had the most out front leader. You know, they had the Margaret Russell and the Stephen Drucker. And I think that's got to say something. They're the publications that didn't die when all the other publications did, or so many did.
And what's really cool and exciting is that these magazines, all three or four that we're talking about, Veranda, Town and Country, Architectural Digest, and House Beautiful. Okay, five. They're all such different personalities as magazines, and they're, you know, they're the last ones standing. And so hopefully with all these different personalities of people and capabilities and backgrounds, this little mix-up's going to, you know, breathe some new life into it and hopefully get the advertising going again.
Right, right. As you know, hopefully the economy keeps sputtering, but hopefully is on an upward trajectory eventually. Advertisers will come back and there's more room for editorial pages.
I had heard somewhere, and this, I can't back this up, so can't say it's fact, but I had heard that Architectural Digest advertising was down by 43%. That's huge.
Yeah, I heard that.
What?
The drop in advertising was 43%. That's enormous.
Yeah, I heard that too. Something in that range. It was almost 50%, yeah.
Yeah, that's just unbelievable that someone kept it going because they felt that it was, you know, an institution.
Well, maybe that, you know, it's Hearst. It's a big, huge company. And, you know, like when Southern Accents went away and we lamented that. And then some of it was, you know, it's business. And then there was a lot of, well, couldn't they have kept it around just because? And, you know, Hearst is a big enough organization that they probably could keep Architectural Digest around waiting for the moment that they could do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? They could have been wooing Margaret for 2 years. And they finally made her a deal. You know, she couldn't.
They finally said on their knees, okay, fine, we'll come to New York.
We'll come to New York, okay. So now what do we think the bloggers, do we think there's going to be more attention from the magazines to the bloggers, or do we think that sort of initial flush of, ooh, the magazines noticed us, has kind of come and gone?
So I think that's come and gone.
Yeah, I do too. Did you say that, Joni, did you say that? You think it's over?
Yes. I think they'll still court the big bloggers, but I think, I don't know, I think the bloom is off the rose a little bit.
For whom?
Magazines. I don't think they're so scared. I think there was a point where they might have been a little scared that the bloggers might, you know, take over, or the power of their word. You know, I think now it's all kind of settled down. I don't think they're scared of us at all. They don't need to be, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, they caught up with the times, and hopefully Architectural Digest, you know, Margaret did so much work. I think she was really hampered by her Elle Decor being tied to Metropolitan Home on the website. Like, whoever was in charge of that website, it was atrocious. And I think it took a good year to get a decent website going for Elle Decor. And that's a big legacy of hers. And the whole designer registry was a big legacy. Once they got caught up and realized the websites could be a great ancillary resource for them, they realized they no longer had to be afraid of the bloggers, that were just kind of like free PR in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah. That is what we are.
I mean, look at us now. We're talking about all the magazines.
I know.
And no, we none of us have received any financial compensation.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Joni's trip to Paris.
What? I'm kidding.
Oh, I was going to say, wait a minute. Hang on here.
This has been the Skirted Roundtable with Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8, Joni Webb from Cota, Texas, and I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings. Thank you so much for joining us. You can visit us online at www.skirtedroundtable.blogspot.com or download our podcasts from iTunes. Search for the Skirted Roundtable. Thanks so much, and we'll be back soon.